Malcolm.
Hasn't come on yet.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Was there a class last night at 9?
Yeah, just briefly. There wasn't a lot of questions, just little simple things. Maybe 20 minutes at the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was my son's birthday, and he wanted to do a FaceTime call. So I had, you know, I had to do that. And, of course, it was to show the grandbaby. So I had to miss.
It's always special. I know that's kind of how I stay connected to my family through Facebook. You know, that's thank goodness we have that so we can connect, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we haven't been able to see the baby. And they're going to come in March. But anyway, FaceTime is better than telephones. Put it
down. Yes, absolutely. That's kind of how I'm watching my little grandson grow up. And he's getting so cute, you know. He's beginning crawling and pulling up and trying to walk. So those are the special moments.
Yeah.
In his infant life, you know, all exploring. He loves to explore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
All right.
Me too.
Me three.
How about if I become the fourth?
Okay. Well, I'm at work, so you'll probably hear things you don't want to hear, so I'm going to mute.
I appreciate that. So today we are continuing our study on Psalm 51. And last time we ended with verse 10, but I'm going to start with verse 10 today. You can find the handout on the Psalms landing page, which is in the Tanit Dibur section of the Unique Astrological Times link, underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or at the bottom of the mobile devices. Just as a reminder, this is a the psalm is speaking of when Nathan the prophet went to David's palace and rebuked him for his sin with Bathsheba. And we've discussed that it really wasn't a sin according to the Zohar. David then secluded himself with Hashem, offering awe-inspiring prayers and begging forgiveness. Every person should recite this psalm for his sins and his transgressions. And I have added that, in my opinion, the psalm is good to say as part of your personal teshuvah process. We will be using the Yearning for Redemption PDF by Rabbi Sutton. And I will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabar yichu ishkinte bidhilu urhimu udhilu udhilu urhimu. L'yakta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shel. In the Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Laino Amadunaya Lohino Alena Maseya Deno Kunane Alena Maseya Deno Kunane. Psalm 51, verse 10. Tashmieni sason b'simcha tagelna atzamot dekita. Let me hear the joy and gladness that you have in store for those who return to you. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. I'm also going to read the English translation from the Mechon Mamre website on the Psalms. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast crushed may rejoice. You see the difference in the translations. What is the idea of make me to hear joy and gladness? Can we control what we hear? Can we control what we see? In every sense, are we able to control that sense? If we censor the input to the sense, sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell, if we control that input, do we control the sense? What is the meaning of the bones you have crushed? There are six words in this verse, which we know connects us to Zerampin. It connects us to the emotions directly, because Zerampin represents metaphorically and physically the senses, the emotions. There are 30 letters which connects us to the letter Lamed, as its gematria is 30. And we know the word Lamed means teaching, teacher. And this is one of the greatest spiritual lessons to ever learn, that by censorship, you control the effect. If you don't receive the inputs, you don't have the correct effect. You have the effect that comes from the lack of input.
Hello.
Yes.
Does that kind of go along with once revealed, twice concealed?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would this be an example? Let's say someone is just really hyped up about the blood moons. And someone else would not really want to watch those things. In other words, one of our verses in the Anabakok is to guard our gates. And of course, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, you know, those are on our gates. So all that is interrelated. That's my question. Are all these things interrelated?
every organ in the body except the hair has a method of censoring. The eyes have the eyelid. It's an easy sensor, isn't it? Close your eyes, you can't see. Your ears, they have the hair that affects the frequency of the airwaves. I don't believe, to my knowledge at least, it hasn't been studied physically. But you have the drum itself. You only hear because the eardrum vibrates with the frequency of the sound waves. In taste, you don't really taste food till you start chewing. Touch, in most, I can say this about the male, in most areas of the male body, 9 of the areas of the male body, there are hair, which affects the touch, what is received. Smell, you have the hair in the nose. And what is a hair? It's a restriction, a limitation on light. And light, we know, is a metaphor for Hashem. So in all areas, we are censoring ourselves. And the society in which you live teaches you how to censor yourself. So how do you break out of that censorship? I only know of one way. And that is utilizing the spiritual senses that is a one-to-one correlation. There is a spiritual eye, a spiritual ear, a spiritual smell, a spiritual touch, a spiritual taste. But how do we access that? And again, I only know of one way, and that's through meditation. And that's why the classes that we teach on the Sefer Yetzirah literally teach multiple ways of meditating. So I'm not sure I'm answering your question, Hannah, but that's my understanding. The only way to freedom is to access the spiritual senses and to choose what to censor rather than leave it up to the natural state of the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that answered your question.
Well, yes, you sent me on another path, though, because years ago, I listed in the back of my Bible what I thought were the spiritual senses that went along with the physical senses because, you know, second grade science, you taught the senses, and I used to get a lot of spiritual stuff. From just physical things, like even when we were studying the symbols of America, and it was with the Statue of Liberty that I, you know, just opened my eyes to so many things. And the same thing with teaching, even at that grade level, the physical senses.
Yes.
So I need to go look in my first Bible and see what I wrote. I remember one was safe. So I'm sure, you know, that's all I remember. But that was, oh gosh, 25 years ago, I'm sure.
Did you say face, F-A-C-E, or faith, F-A-I-T-H?
F-A-I-T-H.
Okay. I apologize for my hearing.
Well, that's okay. I don't think it's just your hearing. We kind of have some background noise. But
understood.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute again. Thank you.
It would be interesting for me if you could forward me a list that you had at that.
Okay. I don't know if that's one of the Bibles. I may not have taken that one to Israel, but I seem like I remember cutting the, you know, you have empty pages in the back of the Bible.
Correct.
And I'm almost sure at that time that I had the so-called New Testament, and I didn't want to take anything like that to Israel, so I may have cut it out, but I think I put those in a little different bag. So hopefully I'll find it, and if I do, I'll let you know. Okay, thank you.
And if you don't, one of the tools that you can utilize to strengthen that memory is to meditate upon it. Ask that memory to return in your meditation.
Okay.
Or ask a dream question. There are similar effects.
Right. Okay. Okay, here I go mute.
Okay. The 11th Pasuk. Lev Tahor Birali Elohim Veruach Nachon Kadesh Bekirbi. A pure heart create for me, Elohim, O just. He's translating this as, O just God. But he's translating the words Ruach, which means the spirit, and Nachon, which is agreement. So I'm not sure how he gets just God from that, unless it's an idiom, and obviously I don't speak Hebrew, so it could be an idiom. But to me, the translation would be the agreeable spirit, or the agreeing spirit. Only you can renew a steadfast spirit within me. Yeah. As a general idea, before I count the letters and words, I'm struggling, we're all struggling, I would think, to understand this pasuk, and to understand this psalm. And the struggle is really with teshuvah. It's the blockages that keep us from the teshuvah. It was just a thought that occurred to me. There are 9 words, and we know that that's either chachma or yesod. Letters connects to the 32 paths of wisdom, which represents Chachma. Verse 13. Al tishlikeni milfanecha Al tikach mimeni. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Now, this is a verse that needs to be said with conviction and with passion, because none of us want to lose that Holy Spirit. There are 8 words that connect us to Bina. The 32 paths of wisdom, and you see how Bina and Chokmah never separate. I haven't pointed this out, but many times within a verse that has 8 words, you will find 32 letters. The 14th verse. Ashiva sason ishecha veruach nediva tismekeni. Restore the joy of your salvation to me. Let me know that you have forgiven me so that I may rejoice in your salvation. Sustain and strengthen me with the spirit of generosity. Footnote 81. Chacham is one of the commentators. Let me know that you have forgiven me so that I may rejoice in your salvation. Sustain me with your spirit of generosity. Meaning, be generous with me and illuminate me with your light, even if and when I am undeserving. The question that one has to ask, can one ask to receive when one is undeserving? What are you doing when that happens? Are you depending on Hashem's mercy, or are you using up your merits? Or not just your merits, but your forefathers' merits. The merits of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one would think that at the time of the Shoah, the nation as a whole had used up the forefathers' merits. Perhaps. That's something I have not contemplated, so I don't truly have an answer. The thought occurred to me just now. The 15th verse.
Hanok.
Yes, Hannah.
I was one that was always calling on God's mercy, or the merit of Abraham, or the merit of Joseph, or the merit of Rabbi Meir. But I've noticed in the last few weeks that I'm seeing more and more verses that call on God to do something for the sake of his name. In other words, for his own sake, rather than
right.
Asking for merit for anyone. And until you said what you said just now, it reminded me of that. I know I saw it at least 3 times this week, and I'm trying to think, what did we read? That I guess it was from, well, one was from the Tibish Seder that we read, you know, last week. I think the verses in there were several times it was calling on God to do something in them. It didn't say merit, but I can't exactly remember what the words were, but it was for the sake of your name.
For your namesake is the common translation. But yes, that's correct.
Okay, so maybe that's another level.
It is.
Okay.
It definitely is. I mean, basically, we have this idea of, I don't know if you've ever heard it where you are, because I'm not really familiar with the communities there other than what you've taught me. But the tradition in the Sephardic Minhag custom, when you hear a blessing and someone says, Baruch Atah Hashem, at that point, the community answers, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is he, and blessed is his name. Now, then the rest of the blessing goes forward, and that's then the community says, Amen. Or Ken Yehi Ratzon. Various different answers that we say from time to time. But essentially that this idea of Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is a unification of the light and the vessel, just as the word Atah does that. And just as the three words, Baruch Atah Hashem does, unifies the light with the vessel. So it definitely is another level.
Okay.
And there's one other thing that you brought to mind for me. As we enter the synagogue, the tradition, the Sephardic Minhag, is to say the three, well, to me it's been broken into three, but to say the verse that Bilam said about the Jewish people that came out as a blessing when he meant it as a curse. If we start the verse, my memory will bring up the rest of it. But the reason that I said, and I think you all know the verse, and if not, you can look it up. I just can't get access to the siddur because I have some things in the way. In my siddur, the Kabbalistic siddur that was put out by the Kabbalah Center based on the teachings of the Ari, that verse is broken into three levels. And next to the three lines, the first line has Abraham, the second line has Yitzhak, and the third line, which consists of just the last word, has yet Jacob. And the teaching is from the Ari. I believe it's the Ari. It may be Rabbi Shurabi. But the teaching is that as you say the first part of the verse, you connect to Abraham and his level of loving kindness. In essence, you stand on his shoulders and know that you have an obligation and responsibility to build on what he revealed. So by entering the synagogue and saying this line, you are accepting all that the forefathers, the patriarchs, revealed, and accept the responsibility to build on that revelation. to grow it to a more greater level. So it's not that you're growing back to the level of the patriarchs. You start at that level because they did the revelation of whatever they revealed for us. But we start with that revelation and build from there. It's a tremendous teaching. And it's really helpful to have that kavanah as you enter the synagogue and make this statement. Now, most people just wait until they're sitting in the pew and they're reading their siddur, waiting for the community to start. But it's a very powerful experience. At least for me, it was. It has been.
Is it how good it is when people...
That's the one. Yes.
We dwell together in unity. Okay. In fact, we sing it. Right.
Yes. But the Sephardic minhag is as you enter the vestibule leading to where mm-hmm. you would put on talit and your tefillin if you were male or... light the candles for the Friday night service. If you're a woman, I'm just using these as examples. As you enter the vestibule to the synagogue, this is the verse you say, and you make that kavanah of connecting to the three patriarchs. So the 15th verse.
Okay.
Balamda poshim birakecha v'chatayim elecha yashuvu. I will then teach incurable rebels your ways, the ways of your mitzvot, the ways of teshuvah. Those who have erred will understand that they may yet return to you. And this is also an important aspect to realize that there's never a blockage, or there may be a blockage to teshuvah, but it's a blockage that we create for ourselves. The gates of teshuvah are always open. You don't even have to be crying, although it's helpful to be crying. There are six words connecting to Zeranpin. But always remember, the six words lacks the seventh, lacks the manifestation. So one needs to make that extra effort to manifest the thought that's expressed in a six-word verse. The 16th verse. Hatzileni midamim Elohim Elohei Teshuati tiranem lashoni Sitatecha. Rescue, clear, forgive. For rescue me from the guilt of having spilled innocent blood, Elohim. O just God, God of my salvation. My tongue will then joyously sing of your righteous charity. You see the phrase that we spoke about earlier, O just God. But I don't see the same words, the ruach, etc. So it's a different issue. But again, Rabbi Sutton is translating and adding these phrases and ideas, because this is his sense of the meaning of the Hebrew words. And I will also mention a thought that I've had the last few verses. We're in a different day than we were when we did the first half of the psalm. The way I feel in the singing is different. If you listen to the way I chant a verse, and then have me chant that verse a different day, my chanting will be based on what I'm feeling at that day, at that moment. This is a theory. This is a certainty for me that Hashem does not want us to be singing in unison. He didn't create us in unison. So why would he want us to be singing in unison? But where do we get to the idea that listening to a chorus in harmony, listen to a chorus, that that's pleasurable? Versus listening to discordant sounds that can be pleasurable. The highest level I ever, it's really the second highest level that I achieved within a community prayer, was a Friday night service where the student rabbi at the time, the leader, authorized everyone to sing the particular song, not in their normal way that they did every week, but in what they were feeling about the words. And it was discordant. It was not harmonious. But I reached a height of spirituality, a height of pleasure in that experience that I, as I said, it was the second highest experience that I've had in community prayer, the highest being meditating on Kafei Ta while wearing the tefillin on the morning reading of the Purim Megillah. So you can understand the differences in the times, the places, the situations, and the tools that I was using. But that discordant harmony was actually very close to the Purim Megillah. The 17th verse. Adonai Sefatai Tiftahu Fi Agid Tehillatecha. Hashem, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Forgive me, and I hereby swear that I will never stop declaring your praises. Footnote 82. Or another translation. Hashem, it is you alone who opens my lips and gives me the ability to articulate your praise in words. A third, Chacham says, If you forgive me, I hereby swear that I will never stop telling your praises. I'm having difficulty with both of these translations from Chacham. My difficulty is this idea that you can make a deal with God. If you give me this, I will do that. I just don't find that a comfortable relationship to Hashem or me. Many people do this. I have done this in my own past, but I find it difficult in my current levels. I'm returning to the You'll notice that this verse, I'm surprised he didn't say it. This verse is written in your Siddur before your Amidahs. It's basically saying, open my lips and let me tell you the truth. It's really saying, open my lips and help me open my heart. Six words. Zeron Tin without Malchut.
I know. Before you go on.
Yes.
We, of course, chant that too. But there's a new version on a CD called Saturday Night Live. And you probably can bring up the sample on the internet to listen to it. That for about the last 2 years, that oftentimes we sing that one too. I think you'd find it really different. So it's the album called Saturday Night Live. And so I think you could find it on the internet. At least, you know, have an album will have a bulk of music, and I think you would enjoy it. So would the students, I think. Okay, here
I go. Thank you for sharing.
Mute again.
There are 24 letters connecting to day and night. The 18th pasuk. Ki lo tachbot zevach v'yetene ola lo tirtze. For you do not desire that I bring sacrifice, nor do you require a burnt offering of me. This verse will be utilized by many in the time of Mashiach who justify not needing to bring sacrifices in the third temple. And that's a discussion point for many people. It's Satan bringing a blockage, because everyone will say, yes, I can bring a shalem sacrifice, a sacrifice for peace, but since there'll be no sins, why do I need to bring a sin offering? Lots of discussions that occurred to me as I read this. The 19th verse. Zichei Elohim ruach nishbara lev nishbar v'dibke Elohim lo tivzeh. The greatest of all offerings to Elohim is a broken spirit. O Elohim, God of justice, do not reject a broken and contrite heart. Footnote 83. In the Zohar under Mishpatim, next week's parasha, it is written, "For you, O Elohim, do not desire that I bring a sacrifice to atone for sins, nor do you desire a burnt offering. The greatest of all offerings to Elohim that has the power to sweeten all judgments and harsh decrees is a broken spirit. O Elohim, do not disdain or reject a broken and contrite heart. Since when do we hear that the Holy One does not require a sacrifice? Didn't he himself command in the Torah that the sinner bring a purification offering in order to obtain atonement? Rather, David was careful to use the name Elohim, the name that embodies Hashem's attribute of justice, which declares that the sinner himself would have to be utterly destroyed for having disregarded and transgressed his commands. It is for this reason that the name Elohim is never mentioned anywhere in the Torah in connection with any animal sacrifice. Rather, the Torah always speaks of Korban Lashem, to Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name that embodies his overriding mercy. It is for this reason that David spoke of his own broken spirit and contrite heart. When a person is sincerely remorseful for having sinned, his repentance is accepted and atonement is granted, even by Hashem's quality of judgment embodied in the name Elohim. I have a lot to say about that, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to not say a lot about it, other than to realize what does a broken spirit actually represent. It represents a fixed value that you have held and think is correct, a fixed value that is really your ego speaking. I know what's right. That's your fixed value that gets broken. The ego gets broken. And you have to recreate your self-image with that change. Verse 20. Heitiva birtzoncha etzion tivne komod Yerushalami. In accord with your desire to redeem Israel, do good to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Many times in the Tanakh you will see the word Yerushalami. Without the Yud. And there is a significant meaning to that. And again, I don't have the time right now to go into it. But if you think about it, it's telling you that there's no C. This is a very specific point. Not a C, not a large idea. The 20th verse. Hey, Tiva, Birtzoncha, Etzion, Di. Oh, I have read this. So it's verse 21. Az tachot zivchei tzedek olah. Wikalil Azyalu Al Mizbahaha Farim. Then you will accept sacrifices of righteousness, an offering of self-elevation and complete devotion. Then we shall become as bulls lifted high above your altar. Footnote 84. First, God has prescribed two categories of sacrifices in the Torah, the olah, the elevation offering, the mincha, the meal offering, and the shelamim, the peace and thanksgiving offering, and two, the chatat, the purification offering, and the asham, the guilt offering. Chatat and Hasham are offerings necessitated by the sins of men. Therefore, it is not the offering itself that the Lord desires. Offerings of that nature are meant only to serve as means to help the worshiper in his efforts to regain such a moral level that would make him worthy of divine favor once more. Ola, Mincha, and Shelamim are of value only if they are vichei tzedek, if they resuppose a life and conduct marked by righteousness and loyalty to duty, which the worshiper wishes to maintain, and in which he is constantly striving for further self-reverse, self-improvement. It is not by means of karbanot, offerings, that Zion and Jerusalem shall be built up. Quite the reverse is true. First, the divine truth reposing in Zion and the way of life pledged by the Jewish people in Jerusalem must be in harmony with one another. If we are to attain divine favor, Birtzoncha is divine favor, and protection, chomot, walls. It is only then that the karbanot will attain their full worth and serve as the symbolic expression of our desire to employ the talents and possessions granted us by Hashem solely to serve Him with our lives. The ola symbolizes the consecration of our acts. Chalil, totality, wholeness. In mincha signifies the dedication of our material possessions. Only then can we truly call ourselves parim, bulls, workers in the service of the Lord, and upon His altar offer up the symbolic expression of our unreserved devotion to the bright, life-giving cleansing and shaping fiery might of His law, and be worthy of His favor and complete forgiveness. There's a lot of thoughts in this area, that is for sure. There are 11 words in this verse, the last verse, verse 21. We know that 11 connects to the 11 components of the incense, as well as the 10 sephirot plus the negative system. And 39 letters, which connects to the Hebrew word tal, tet lamed, which means do, which has a connection to the Messiah. it's hinting to us that the Mashiach is dependent on the teshuvah of each individual and the nation as a whole. I will now read the 21 verses in the Hebrew in sequence. Lam natzeach mizmor l'David bavo elav natan chanavio kasher ba'el bat shava Haneni Elohim b'chazdecha kiro rachamecha mehefeshai terev tabseni me'avoni u'mechatati tahareni kifeshai Ani eda v'chatati negdi tamid Lecha levadcha chatati v'chara Ve'en echa asiti leman tisdak v'davrecha Tizke b'shachtecha Hain b'avon cholalti uved yechematni imi. Hain emet hatpatsta basukod usatam hachmato dieni. Tachat v'eini v'ezo v'etruchar ha-kabeseini u'mishele galbin tashmieni sason v'simcha tagilna atzamo dikita Aster fanecha mechatai v'kol avonotai mechei lev tahor birali Elohim v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi al tishlikeni milfanecha V'ruach kadshecha al tikach mimeni Hashiva li sason yishev v'ruach Nediva tismekeni Alamda poshim dirakecha v'chataim Elecha yashuvu Hatzileni Midamim Elohim Elohei Teshuati Terane Veshoni Tzidkatecha Adonai Sefatai Tiftach Ufi yagid tehilatecha Ki lo tachpots zevach Be'eteina ola Lo tirtzeh Zivche Elohim Ruach nishbara Lev nishbar V'nidkeh Elohim lo tivtze Heitiva birtzoncha Etzion tivne chomot Yerushalami Az tafpo quotes Zivhei, Zivhei Tzedek, Ola v'chalil az yalu amizbachacha farim. That is the end of Psalm 51. I will mention just one point, and that is there is no place in this psalm, in all of these words, that the word that we utilize as a pause to contemplate, the word Selah, is not included in this psalm. The contemplation needs to take place before the Teshuvah. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you all a wonderful day. Shalom Gadol to all. Our classes tonight are the Deeper Zohar at 4:30 and the Parasha of Yitro and the Zohar on the Parasha of Yitro at 7 o'clock. Shalom Gadol, shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You.
Thank you. Shalom. Have a great day.